You're listening to KVSC FM and HD St. Cloud. I'm Samich, and I'm on the phone with Jeremy Messersmith, local Minnesota musician who is headlining a show that KVSC is hosting at the Pioneer Place Theater on 5th here in downtown St. Cloud on Thursday night, also with Harbor and Home opening up for them. How are you doing, Jeremy?
I'm doing very well. I'm just sitting around enjoying a fall-like day. Yeah,
it's pretty decent. The sun is peeking out now, which I'm happy for, and it should get sunnier and warmer as the week goes on, thankfully, you know, since it is May.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, I'm hoping for a bit of that.
Oh, yeah, especially when you come up to St. Cloud. Now, I've been listening to your stuff. You know, I'm originally an Iowan. Let's just start things off. I'll be honest. But I first got into your stuff, I don't know, maybe a year or a year and a half ago, probably around the time, little bit before you came out with your most recent album, Heart Murmurs, in February 2014. And I've really enjoyed your music. I think you're definitely one of the best local musicians that we've got, you know, these days.
Well, thank you very much. I will take that as a compliment.
I would hope so. Now, since, you know, you've released Heart Murmurs, which people have said is your major label debut on Glassnote, you know, you've built a lot of buzz, you know, from different, you know, sources such as NPR and MPR, of course, even like Time Magazine, I believe, you know, labeled you as one of the artists to watch out for in 2014. How's your ride been as a musician since putting out Heart Murmurs?
Well, it's been interesting. I feel like I learned an awful lot over the last year. Like you said, it was my first release on a label, and so it meant touring for about 9 months or so. Off and on, which was more than I'd ever done, and kind of like seeing like how the machine works was really fascinating, you know. So going and doing playing shows at clubs, but then stopping in and playing at ad agencies or magazines or like daytime shows at radio stations and stuff like that. It was really fascinating to see how musicians and artists get promoted and how that's set up to work.
Now, you mentioned ad agencies. I'm pretty sure I've probably heard a bunch of, you know, your most recent tunes on commercials and such. Could you explain what you mean by playing at ad agencies? Were you like, you know, pitching your songs for commercials in a sense, or how did that work?
Yes, kind of. Although it's not really, you're not pitching like anything specific, but it's at least the way it worked for me was that I would show up at an ad agency with my band and usually be around lunchtime. And then my label, or me, would buy pizza for the whole office to come down and eat and then listen to me play a set. So maybe they get familiar with my music. So at some point, if they're pitching for an ad and need a song, then maybe they will choose one of mine.
Especially
and that's kind of how
fed.
It works. Yeah.
Nice. So how big, like, was the band that you were bringing into these ad agencies? Like, did you bring your whole, like, string, you know, part of it? Or, you know, how big were we talking?
It was usually 5 people total. Sometimes I would do them solo. We also did stuff at movie studios as well. So we would go on to, like, the Warner Brothers or Fox lot and play for music supervisors who do stuff for movies and TV shows and things like that. And sometimes I did them solo, but it was mostly me and 4 other people. Sometimes I did one where I played for a music supervisor, I think at Paramount maybe, where it was 3 of us playing for 1 person, which is very fun. Kind of funny.
Yeah, I would say, well, that would be very cheap to buy pizza for that one person. Or did you, like...
Did you end up buying a bunch of cupcakes? I didn't end up buying it. I think the way it works is that the label buys it, but then, you know, it gets billed back to my account. I think that's kind of how it works. You know, it's like a promo expense.
Ah.
I have to guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's yeah. pretty cool. I like hearing about that.
Yeah.
What would you say is one of your favorite moments or highlights from this past year?
Oh, boy, what would it be? You know, I have to say, probably playing Rock the Garden was about the most fun I've had in maybe ever. I think that was the single biggest show that I've ever played, and was just a lot of fun. And it was, you know, I had like all my friends on stage, and we'd been touring a bunch, and it was just a lot of fun. I feel like I should say Letterman, but honestly, I don't really remember a whole lot of it.
So yeah.
I don't know. I think we were all pretty amped up before that.
And then it all kind of just flew by in an instant. I was going to ask, what was it like to perform on David Letterman in August?
It was a bit of a blur. It was kind of a weird feeling of deja vu, you know, because you've seen, like, the set and stuff so many times on TV. So when you're there, you feel like you've been there before. I mean, it's the old Ed Sullivan Theater, too. So, I mean, the Beatles played there. I mean, they were introduced. And it's just kind of this strange, strange feeling.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the performance itself, I mean, it was a really long day, a lot of work. The crew put in insane hours while we were there. Also, the studio was really, really cold, like 60 degrees cold, which isn't super good for guitar fingers, but ended up being okay.
Did you get to talk to Letterman much during it, or was that kind of just like a hi-bye kind of thing?
Yeah, it's kind of a hi-bye thing. One of my bandmates ran into him on his way down to the gym, and they chatted for a minute. But no, we didn't really chat at all. He did call up to the makeup room and ask about get an assistant ask about my last name, which he was kind of curious about.
Interesting. Like he was wondering what the origins of it was.
Yeah. Messerschmitt. Is that like a Messerschmitt, like a German fighter plane kind of a thing?
Oh, yeah,
and I explained that it was, it's like an anglicized, version of that.
You've been doing supper club tours. I know you're, I think you just started one just recently, another one. I know you did one last summer as well. Whose idea was it, you know, to do these, you know, supper club tours? And how does the organizing of it go? Because I wonder, are you playing at, like, mostly strangers' houses? Or is it, you know, people you know? Or how does that all work?
I've had a long chat with my bandmates, maybe like 4 years ago. I remember we were driving back from a show and I think we were playing in like, Red Wing maybe or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking about touring models and, how, I don't know, if there were any like better ways to actually tour. And we kind of came up with the meat of it on a van ride back. And then it was just kind of a matter of, logistically, it's just, we send out an email saying, hi, can I come play at your house? Here are some cities where I would like to do that. And then people email back, and usually it's strangers, or maybe it's people that I've met at a show or something like that. But usually I don't know who it is. Locally, I feel like everybody in town kind of is at least passingly familiar with my stuff, and I've probably met about half of Minneapolis and St. Paul at this point. So I end up knowing a lot of the people at those shows. But like out of town, it's usually a bunch of people who don't know each other, and I've never met them. But we show up and eat some dinner and have some fun.
Are those mostly acoustic shows, or how does, you know, setup and logistics go for, you know, playing at someone's house?
Yeah, they're totally acoustic, so no sound system at all. So I just walk in with my guitar, I find like a corner, and then you just sing. So it's really nice because you don't have to do a sound check, which can get really boring when you're on the road, especially for me. I notoriously despise sound checks and even rehearsing. I'm not like a huge fan of rehearsing, much to my bandmate's chagrin.
So how does it feel to perform for these, you know, supper club tours? How does it feel to perform for fans that intimately versus, you know, a traditional, you know, club show?
It's great. It's great for me because it means I have to do less kind of distancing between me and the audience, which is kind of nice psychologically. You know, I don't have to like amp myself up and do like some kind of rock and roll persona. I can really just be well, at least a more mellow version of myself. And it's nice because you can actually talk to people, because I'm not amplified, I'm not on stage. You know, I can chat with people between songs if they have a question or request or something like that, and I find it to be usually a lot more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that you like supper club tours more than, you know, normal gigs, or?
I think on average, yeah, I enjoy them a lot more. I have a lot more fun. Kind of my goal is I like to play either really, really small shows with just me, and that lets me, you know, work on trying out new material and working on songs and things like that, trying them out in a small venue. But then I also like doing big, you know, Guitar Hero type shows and stuff too with the full band. It's really fun. That's like a totally different thing. And I think I learned a lot about how to do that this last year, playing at like Rock the Garden or Bonnaroo and stuff.
You've learned to become more of a rock star, you'd say.
yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Oh man. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm a little more comfortable with it. I think it's just that, I don't know, as kind of a hermit introvert, it was just weird having, and it still is sometimes, you know, just like everybody looking at you on a stage, you know. I used to get stage fright really bad, and I think I've just gotten over it.
Mm-hmm. So I want to touch on, you know, your albums and some of, like, the songs. You know, you've written, I think you do a really great job of storytelling, and you write from, you know, a lot of kind of different perspectives, especially, like, on your album, The Reluctant Graveyard. And I just wonder, you know, I feel like there's kind of a storytelling sort of fictional aspect to a lot of the stuff you do. And I just wonder, you know, where do much of like these stories like from Heart Murmurs and other releases come from? Or is, you know, is much of it personal experience?
I would say that most of it at least starts off, the little seed of the song comes from personal experience. But then I'm willing to embellish and, you know, like writers do, make things up if it serves, like, the point or the purpose of the song.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that my inspiration comes from, you know, other songs. It comes from, you know, stuff in my own life, you know, old episodes of Star Trek. the, you know, my own personal relationships that I constantly mine and exploit for material. Yeah. If you want your private life to be private, don't be friends with a songwriter.
Nice. Well, okay, you mentioned Star Trek, and okay, I'm gonna touch on a different sort of let's just say phenomenon.
Sure.
Star Wars. What are your thoughts on the new Star Wars coming out? Are you excited for that?
Oh yeah, I'm so excited. I'm a big J.J. Abrams fan. I enjoyed the two Star Trek movies that he directed, and looks like they're doing it right. They're doing, you know, super classic Star Wars kind of story.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing an emphasis on practical effects, you know, which I'm sure there'll be tons of CG and stuff too. But seeing that little BB-8 droid, that just makes me think they're doing something right. And I had a bunch of people ask me if I was going to do, like, a, you know, tape one of those Star Wars reaction videos, you know, when you watch the trailer and stuff that are all over. And I thought about it, and then I was like, I don't think anybody wants to see me, like, sobbing while watching it.
Happy
while watching
sobbing?
A Star Wars trailer. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, seeing, I don't want to mention any spoilers or anything if people are trying to avoid it, but the last shot of the new trailer, I cried like a baby.
I'd say if people haven't, you know, seen the trailer, then, you know, then it's their own fault, really. But so you sobbed at, you're talking about Harrison Ford, right?
Yeah.
At the end?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was just too much. It was just a nostalgia punch in the gut.
I wonder, do you have anything else in the works? I know you're you've got the Supper Club, and you are also you know, teaching some songwriting like classes over the summer. But do you have any new tunes in the works?
Yeah, I do. I actually spent a week writing with Dan Wilson from Semisonic a couple weeks ago, and I'll probably be playing. Part of the reason I'm doing the Supper Club show is to work out new material and to try out some new songs in front of an audience. So I'll be playing some new songs that haven't been recorded, or actually there'll be a few that haven't even been performed. I'll be doing those up at the show in St. Cloud on Thursday.
Cool. I'm looking forward to it. What else can we expect from your show on Thursday?
Well, it'll be a singer-songwriter-y duo kind of set.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, lots of new material. I'm willing to take requests if anybody has something that I can remember how to play. And, and I'll probably bring my inappropriate question jar as well.
Inappropriate question jar? Can you please explain what that is about?
Well, I just put a jar with some pieces of paper near the front of the, when people walk in, and they can just ask whatever inappropriate question they want, anonymously, so I don't know who would ask it. And then I try my best to answer it. It's funny, most of them aren't really very inappropriate, but they are kind of funny, and it's kind of a fun way to riff a little bit between songs and
nice little banter.
It's just a good time. Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah.
So if you have some burning inappropriate question for me, that would be the time.
Stick them in the jar. Now, since we've talked a lot about supper clubs, and of course it's supper club. There is a potluck involved, a very Midwestern kind of tradition, one that I enjoy myself. But so I'll just, for my last question, I'll ask you, what is your favorite potluck dish?
Oh, I'm a vegetarian, and the supper clubs aren't vegetarian, but I will say one of the things that I enjoy is nice caprese salad.
Oh my gosh. You're just like...
when the tomatoes are just right, and just some like nice fresh moss, it's really good. It's super refreshing, and I'm trying to time the supper club this year, so I'll be traveling during kind of harvest time, so maybe like farmers markets will be especially good.
That is delicious. I actually just ate caprese salad a couple of days ago, so it's like you took the words out of my mouth almost. So that is
awesome.
Wonderful. Delicious. Okay. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today, Jeremy.
Yeah, well, thank you for making the time to chat. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, like I said, Jeremy Messersmith, he is playing at the Pioneer Place Theater in downtown St. Cloud. I wonder if the show is sold out yet. It probably is. I managed to snag some tickets like before it got, terribly awful to find some seats together. But yeah.
I think last time I heard, I think there were maybe like 3 or 4 tickets left, maybe.
Yeah, so it's gonna be packed. It's gonna be a real fun time.
Yeah,
at the Pioneer Place Theater in downtown St. Cloud this coming Thursday. I'll see you then, Jeremy.
Sounds good.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Bye.